With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball expert. He is out in spring training covering both the Cubs and the White Sox. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. I guess the biggest takeaway for me yesterday, baseball-wise, from what Tom Ricketts talked about was basically what we had speculated all winter long, that there was no money left and that every general manager or president of baseball operations are going to ask for more. And it's the owner's job at a certain point to say, you know what? You spent over $200 million last year. Two of your guys cost $162 million, and you got nothing out of them. And therefore, we cannot afford to do this every offseason. We have other players that are coming up as young, attractive guys who are going to get paid multi-zillion dollar contracts, and we cannot do this every year. And that is what we speculated on, guys, all winter long. It was confirmed and verified by Tom Ricketts yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think, Bruce, that when you start talking about budgetary issues, there is salary cap stuff, and then there's a team's bottom line. And, you know, when you start throwing in the Cole Hamels contract with the other contracts that were signed, you can understand why. You know, I did feel like they might have kind of dipped into this year's budget. But, it doesn't surprise me that is the case. I guess what surprised me is the way that Tom said it and the fact that it rubbed people the wrong way when he just was as forthright as he was. But again, I think that was a difficult news conference for him all the way around.
There's a strategy here too, guys. I mean, you look at owners and top baseball officials not giving out big long-term contracts to everybody. You have attractive people like Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo after 2021, free agents. You don't want him to get to that point. So knowing you have a new day in baseball as far as contracts go, the agents knowing that, these attractive players having not gone in for long-term offers that were offered up to this point, that might change in this offseason going into next year, and they need to save the $200 million contracts for their own players.
Bruce, appreciated you asking Tom Ricketts about Joe Maddon before the news conference ended, and we talked about that yesterday. What did you think of his answer, and do you think it was carefully worded for any reason?
It was what I thought it would be, David. You know, it just, you know, we allow the baseball people to be in charge of the baseball decisions. Internally, we talk about it, but we're not going to share it with you. So he was pretty standoffish in the answer. I mean, he was definitely, you know, positive about Joe, but very short. So from that perspective, I didn't get any feel whatsoever as to whether he's going to be involved in saying, you know what, Theo, he's been a great manager. Why do we have to get rid of him?
For a guy who won a World Series, I had the same reaction. It was like, oh, okay.
But it's also, you know, let's be honest about it, the high-paid manager, the so-called celebrity manager, is a endangered species. Yep. And when you start talking about bottom line and budget and stuff, it's an easy way to start trimming some fat off of I don't want to call Joe that, but I mean to trim some money.
Yeah, and you're 100% right, Mike. You know, this is the owner's new way of dealing with players. It's the owner's new way of dealing with managers. You know, as you just said, you know, The manager now is going to make somewhere between $700,000 and $1 million a year. If he's, you know, somebody that wins a World Series, they might make $1.5 million at a peak, and that's it. You know, thanks a lot. You know, it's a lot of money. You're just standing there in your pajamas and waving people in and waving people out. You're not hitting home runs. We can find somebody else to do it if you don't want $1 million for the job.
Bruce, a couple baseball things. Ben Zobrist did not report, some personal reasons stated. How long do you think he'll be out? And it is funny to hear Anthony Rizzo say that he was willing to part with some money if it meant they could get Machado or Bryce Harper in town.
That was fun. Rizzo's a lot of fun, and you know, he had fun with that and the St. Louis stuff and Bryant, you know, which continues to be a story and will be a fun story to watch the rest of the regular season between the Cardinals and Cubs.
Tell me they don't have some kind of a, you know, status angle in their lives. Give me a break, really? That's such a stupid story to me. That is just people feeling, you know, you can't insult our town. Like, if you really come from a city, you don't care what anyone says about you.
Unless it's made up stories. Garden spots in the Midwest where the Cubs have to travel, they're really nice cities with fine people in them. But, you know, when you compare them to Chicago, Illinois, I mean, you know, it's like, where would you want to go? I mean, those places are really, I mean, I have friends and family that live in a couple of those cities. But, you know, would you want to live in Cincinnati the rest of your life? I mean, no, nothing toward them, but.
Do you want to fly into the Cincinnati, Kentucky airport ever?
I have a full set of teeth. I want to keep them that way.
Oh, wow. Wow. All right, Bruce, White Sox related. So yesterday, what was your level of surprise hearing that Ricky Renteria talk about Yoan Moncada maybe being the opening day third baseman?
It's still a scramble, isn't it? Because they say, oh, yeah, well, we think he's going to play third. But if Machado comes here, well, we don't know who we're going to have to move. We don't know if we have to move Anderson. Moncada might have to go back to second. You know, it's like a fire drill, you know, going around, you know, when you get out of the car and you run around in the fire drill. You know, it's like you don't know. You just don't know where you're going to be. And for these young guys, it has to be a little unsettling for Anderson and Moncada to not really know their position. And the Machado thing is, you know, it's real. I mean, it appears to be San Diego and the Chicago White Sox. If we get that Harper 10-year deal, which we expect here pretty soon with Philadelphia, then really, if it's 7 or 8 years, it's most likely San Diego or the White Sox for Machado. And if that's the case, you're going to have people moving positions around. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's kind of an unnerving thing for these guys who are still trying to establish themselves as position players. Anderson certainly took the turn last year in the second half and looked really good at shortstop. Moncada made 21 errors last year at second base, the most of anybody at any position. And certainly they want to move him somewhere else, but there's only so many positions that you can move these guys to at this point. Is Anderson an outfielder in the future? You know, is he going to need a whole spring training to be able to even come close to accomplishing that? So lots of moving parts for the Chicago White Sox.
If they were to get Manny, wouldn't he play shortstop, though? He wants to be a shortstop over a third baseman?
He's just an average shortstop.
But, I mean, doesn't he get to call his shot?
If you're paying him $35 million a year, he gets to decide where he plays, right?
I don't know. You can say that, or you can say, you know what? We're paying you $30 million a year. You're going to have to play where we tell you to. You know, again, you know, do you turn the franchise over to the guy? Yeah, I don't think you can turn the franchise over to the guy.
I think if you give him that kind of money, you're giving him the franchise.
I think that's pretty much it.
But he's an adequate shortstop. You don't want an adequate shortstop. You have an adequate shortstop. You want a gold glove third baseman, one of the best in the game, playing there and shining at that position for the next 6, 7, or 8 years.
So then what do you do with Yoan? Move him back?
Well, you know, people are traded, too, sometimes.
So does he have any value, Bruce? I mean, the guy struck out 217 times.
At this particular point in time, not what you want. But certainly, down the road, some of these good young players, just like we saw with the Chicago Cubs when they started to get good, they had to move the Solares, they had to move the Jimenez, they had to move Cease. You know, some of these really fine young players are going to bring you back something solid down the line when you're ready to compete and win.
My thought on moving Manny, and it was interesting, Johan, and it was interesting because David had the exact opposite thought, but my thinking was, wow, you know, the guy, his real problem is he can't hit. He strikes out too much, and he's really struggling with that, and he's got a hole in his swing where he's not getting anything outside. I mean, shouldn't you fix that before you start moving him? And David felt, well, you know, that'll take all the pressure off him if you move him, where I felt like, you know, that'll put more pressure on.
There's less to worry about at third base and second base, I think.
I'm kind of with David on that. You know, okay. I think you take away the relays and all that stuff that go into play. Maybe you just relax the guy. Everybody thought coming up, every scout, every baseball person thought he was going to hit. He was going to hit for power. He was going to have speed. He was going to make contact. Sure, he was going to strike out 150 times. Believe me, if he has 600 at bats and he strikes out 150 times, he's probably going to be an all-star this year, because that'll mean that he's struck out 70 less times in one season. So from that perspective, cutting down the strikeouts, continuing to make hard contact. He takes a lot of pitches. He walks. But the theory for him, like the theory for the Chicago Cubs, is it's not always good to walk. It's not always good to be looking at 2-1 and 3-1 if that's the pitch that you can drive and hit for a double or a home run. It's better to find your pitch and drive it. And I think that's what the key is for Moncada this year.
All righty, Bruce. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
enjoy
Bruce.
Yourself.
All right,
we'll
guys.
Talk to you soon. Okay, pal.
Have a great day. It's only 36 here today. You have to feel better about
wow,
it.
Wow.
Oh, that's
that.
Great.
That's great. Yeah.
Bundle up.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.